Let's review what we've seen so far, and hopefully we've grasped what it means to be stiff-necked. Stubbornness, like I said, is something today we almost wear as a badge. It's a very dangerous thing, and more people have become it. And you can tell stubbornness because they'll even say, "I know," and keep doing what they're not supposed to. And that's what God was saying in Romans 1. It's pointing to that group. And remember, he says when he would say to Israel, "These are a stiff-necked people, and we're real bad today." It says, through that same stubbornness, we suppress the truth by our wickedness. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. Thinking became futile, and foolish hearts were darkened. Claimed to be wise, but became fools. Exchanged glory of immortal God for images that made to look like mortal man and birds. And then, so that's why the wrath and a lot of stuff is happening now. We're getting a lot of his wrath that Romans 1 showed us we're getting due to us being stubborn, plain and simple. When it says God gave us over to, and that means there are some people that are losing now and they're stuck due to their stubbornness. I think some people say, "Well, I got all the time before I die." You may be one of those that can fall into that God gave them over to if you stay stubborn. And God gave them over to what was called shameful lusts. That's the homosexual relationships was talked about. That's where we got the Greek word pathos, which means desires that are never accepted. And then it went on to say, our stubbornness stops us from really retaining the knowledge of God. You see that today. Church has to almost beg people to come in, and people don't really take in God's word as this very important thing in life. We kind of blow it off and not see it as serious. And that's what he says. He gave them over to a depraved mind. So, Romans 1 really kind of set the stage for how dangerous we are in our stubbornness. And, stubbornness can be triggered by certain things like Pharaoh. We've seen that he was stubborn when things became normal. The bad thing about today, we're in an age where we've catered so much to self that's become normal. When Jesus would say, "Deny yourself," that was still during a time where only the rich could really live for self. Today, even the poor, self can be a self, we can be more self-centered. That's why it's hard to live for God. Some of the things we struggle with is based on God, but what about me? You understand that? The answer is just don't do it. And it seems simple, but because self comes into play, we'll go, "But then I won't be happy, but then I won't be this." And our stubbornness makes us keep staying within us. Stubbornness really puts us in a danger because it keeps us from following him and being used by him. Unchained stubbornness was evil and treated as such. We've seen that with the child. They said, "If you have a child that's this way," and so on and so forth, remember that? And at the end, they stoned them. And the danger was that was a danger to the rest of the people. Okay? The book of Judges showed how the Israelites became more and more stubborn. And that's why you would hear the term used in Judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. All of this really points in maybe not a shadow, but we're falling into the same things that we're supposed to learn from. So it's not a shadow, but it's an example. So even using that, what Sister Carolyn was asking, the things that we are missing is we're making the same bad decisions. I'm not even going to call them mistakes, because a mistake is something that you accidentally do. We're right now just doing it blatantly, almost mocking God. Not almost, we are. The Israelite stubbornness kept them from the true blessings of God. So we get to see that three elements that creates stubbornness are, first of all, complacency. And if you really pay attention, we live our lives to become complacent. Am I right? You hear a person go, "I just want to be well off. So I want to have the right amount of money. I want to live in the right place. I want to be with the right person, have the right stuff in the right area," right? And we think we're trying to become content. But when you're catering to the flesh, you become complacent. You become passive. You want to stay in a comfortable spot. And that makes you stubborn, because a lot of times when God makes us react, it takes us out the fleshly comfort zone. And I can't be complacent. The other element of stubbornness is self-centeredness. And that's a major one. When I play a part or the part in it. See, some of the things, the Bible would be very easy. And it was only my mid-20s when I finally got this. When you totally remove yourself out the equation. And you don't see that because we'll say amen to God, but we're still a part of the equation. And that's why there's certain things we're not doing of God. Why? Because I'm struggling with it. I have a problem with it. I don't understand it. I can't see it. And at times we're basically asking God, hey, God, can you make my flesh feel comfortable to do your spiritual stuff? And we're just setting ourselves up for disaster. And the other element is pride and or tradition. Pride and or tradition, which works together because our pride is, you know, I've always done this and I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to apologize to them. Or it falls into that we've always done this. You know, Smiths don't do that, so on and so forth. It's that traditional pride that we have into this. And stubbornness is equal to idolatry. And I know idolatry is going to go to heaven. He made that very clear. So he wanted us to understand that the dangers of stubbornness still exist for us today if we don't resolve it, where he said in Hebrews 4 or and Hebrews 3 that they never enter my rest. That's what the term he made. What he meant by that is because that rest didn't just imply me resting. It also pointed to the place we end up. So the Israelites' place of rest was going to be that promised land. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Our place of rest is salvation. In the same way, they entered his rest without faith, or tried to enter it without faith. Remember when they came back and they saw the spies and everybody was like, no, we agree with everybody else. We ain't going in because there's giants. In the same way as Christians, are you truly walking by faith, or does your flesh still have a say? Does your flesh still is it the thing that still guides you? All in all, our stubbornness can eventually be our demise if we're not careful. And we've seen that in Romans 2 and Proverbs 29. And the last thing we read in Proverbs 29, where it says, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are a lot of people, because I know that's what some people say, you can pray for somebody to get saved. God puts everything into place for everybody to get saved. So those who don't are choosing to go to hell. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people who live that way. They're so stubborn. And I don't know if they think their stubbornness is going to do something for them, because it leads to an eternity of something. And, you know, anything you feel about yourself is gone. So I'm hoping we use our heads and deny self, so self doesn't hinder self from being eternity with God and end up keep us from being in an eternity in hell. And that's where that all comes down to. So where we're at.
Excuse me, Pastor.
Yeah.
Did you say that the Sabbath is our rest, or did you say salvation is our rest?
Salvation is our rest. Salvation. If I say Sabbath, I apologize. No, salvation is our rest. I was
no,
saying
you said salvation, but I was wondering because and there's something about the Sabbath being a rest. I mean, was that scripture about
Hebrews 4.
Sabbath was made for man, and the Sabbath was made for man. Was that the rest?
So there was that rest, the rest that was represented. Because if you remember, that's why when we just read Colossians 2, it says, don't let anybody judge you on Sabbath. Oh, that's Sabbath, because the Sabbath day and all of that and how they did it as a rest, and they did it as a physical rest, was made for man. And then people got, you know, so deep into that, they start worshiping it itself and not worshiping what it was made for, you know, through God. Now, we still live a Sabbath if you read Hebrews 4. You go through Hebrews 3 into Hebrews 4, and it still talks about that Sabbath rest and a Sabbath day. And in that verse, it says that Sabbath day is called today. So we are all, as Christians, in a Sabbath rest. So we do still celebrate the Sabbath, just not in the way they did. Remember, because that was a shadow pointing to the rest that we're in now. Does that make sense?
So you're saying that the Sabbath is every day.
Mm-hmm. For us Christians, absolutely. Because remember, okay. It says, remember Sabbath day and keep it holy. We're now in that rest. That's why we lay our burdens down. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Okay, so Hebrews 4 is showing, he's saying, in fact, if you will turn there real quick and I'll show you on mine. I don't know if y'all see it on my screen. Everybody see my screen where my Bible just popped up?
Yeah.
Okay, so Hebrews 4. And I'm reading the whole entire thing, where he shows us, he says in verse 6, it still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. He's talking about the Israelites. Therefore, God again set a certain day, watch this, calling it what?
Today.
Today. Y'all see that? And when a long time later, he spoke through David and he said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we're in that Sabbath. That's why I say it's for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And we're in that rest now. This is salvation. So in salvation, we are in the Sabbath rest. But, you know, remember, they represented it by this physical thing that they did nothing on that day, on that one day. We're in that all the time. We should be worshiping with our lives. Everything that we do should be that. And that's why it's wrong. And when people hear the thing of, oh, the new Sabbath is Sunday, that's not true. They say it's the Lord's Day, that's not true. None of that was never changed in the Bible. Man made some adjustments to it during Constantine's time, but that's a whole nother story.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so stubbornness can make us miss the true message of God. Okay, one of the biggest reasons that we're lost in God's word is due to our stiff-neckedness, our stubbornness. Let's say it that way. And what do I mean by that? There's two verses that if you read it wrong, it could confuse you because it seems like it's contradicting itself, right? And not two verses, just kind of sections in the Bible. But one tells us that I have to understand what God's word in order for me to apply it, okay? But another verse may tell me, but lean not upon your own understanding. You have to know the difference of what that means. My understanding and understanding are different. What do I mean by that? So if I were to tell you, let's say you go to the grocery store, I say, from now on, I need you to buy 4 cartons of milk. Do you understand that? The answer is, I understand you told me to buy 4 cartons of milk. So that's what I'm going to do. My understanding is, but why do you want me to buy 4 cartons of milk? Now that's my understanding. You see the difference. See, in my understanding, where we blow it is we're saying, God, until I understand why you want me to buy 4 cartons of milk, I'm not buying 4 cartons of milk. Understanding is he wants me to buy 4 cartons of milk. That's what I'm going to do. I have no idea why he wants me to buy 4 cartons of milk. I just know he told me to buy 4 cartons of milk. Know the difference between the two. Stubborn people get stuck in the, I don't understand, so I'm not doing. And that's dangerous. All right. But not understanding what he says is because we're not in the word. We're not studying it. We're not following it. That's the difference. The understanding that we're supposed to have is what does he want me to do so I can do it? The my understanding is where I'm good with what his reason is for making me do it. So hopefully y'all get that difference. So understand here in Mark 3:1-6, it says another time he went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Because you understand what the religious leaders were doing, they would use God for themselves. Now think about that, because it's a common stubborn problem we do today. We can become very holy when it's something we like. And then we become downright ignorant when it's something we rather do. And that's what he's saying. His frustration was, because to kind of give you a little history on it, what the Jews ended up doing, remember I told you had the law. That was given by God. And then man would add on to the law. One of the books is called the Talmud. And they would read stuff out of the Talmud written by men. So God would already give the rules about the Sabbath. And then you get these men that go, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And they would always kind of gear it so it fit them and hurt more, you know, people who are poor. It kind of restricted the people and bound the people to where they worship it. And they would just look for something like they were doing with Jesus here. And they were saying, you're not using the Sabbath in out of reverence in God. You're using Sabbath for your own stubbornness. This is what I want. And that's a common trait. You can be very holy on things that suit you, but you can become very ignorant on things that you don't care too much about. And that's what he means when he said he was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, because they were taking something that was holy, which is the Sabbath day, and trying to make it a way to trap him because they didn't like him because he was getting all the attention. And he went on and said, he was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisee went out and began to plot against the Herodians, how they might kill Jesus. Because immediately, like, okay, now we got our answer. So they're not, see, in other words, if you get somebody doing something wrong, they're doing something wrong. They're trying to find something. How many of us kind of do that sometimes? You know what I mean? In our stubborn hearts, we actually use God. And remember, they're headed to the deepest, darkest of hell, because that's a self-righteousness. If I don't come out of my stubbornness, you'll see me being very holier than thou on certain things and passive on other things. And God hates that. That's unbalanced weights. Okay. I got to be consistent when it comes to things of God, especially, you know, dealing with people. Acts 19:8-9 shows Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. Now, the key here is that it didn't mean they didn't understand. They just chose not to. They just chose not to. I grew up, and I remember there were certain things were given in church, and especially when you heard something over and over again, and that's how you did it, and you always did it that way until somebody would come and go, "Let me show you this in the Bible." And when you come to find out that some things that you're taught through tradition goes against what the Bible says, is sometimes we go, no, and we keep doing what we're doing. Why? Because we're, once again, complacent. We're comfortable in our tradition. Instead of going, wow, he proved in the Bible, I have to change. Do y'all get this? And if you really look at our lives, you'll see us, once again, comfortable in our traditions and not looking to follow God. And that's what we should be. We should be searching the Bible, you know, daily, because I'm not giving anything different. I'm just giving the Bible. What some people may hear that's different is stuff that man took and kind of twisted, and we accepted what man gave because it was more comfortable, instead of following what God said. Because it's very easy for us to distort God's word to fit our lifestyle. And so what ends up happening is, it's not that we don't understand. Once again, he says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He's saying they refused because they became obstinate. They became stubborn. And so, they were like, I don't care what you tell me, I'm not going to believe this. One thing I had to learn to do, and that's why I knew a bit about other religions, is because I had to listen to them. And even when people bring up stuff that I don't care for, you know what I mean, I don't entertain it. I listen to it. But the only thing that will guide me is if you truly show me it with sound doctrine. All other stuff is interesting. That's just about it. You understand that? And anything you show me with sound doctrine, you got me. Sound doctrine, not a verse here and some situation there and oh, isn't this ironic? We're not talking about conspiracy, sound doctrine. But I have to make sure that I'm getting what his word says and not some tradition, or I'm stubborn. Now, our stubbornness will make us ignore the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit empowers us, but we access it. He doesn't force it. Acts 7:51-53 says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts." Why do you keep saying uncircumcised hearts? Once again, circumcision was another shadow pointing to something now. Okay. It was something that's covered. So we allow our hearts, which is our purpose now, to still be unclean. And that's what he means when he says, rend your hearts, to tear your hearts and allow your hearts to be 100% for God. But he's saying these people were stubborn and their hearts still for other stuff, you know, with God. He says, "You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." Bad thing about today, you have some people that will lean upon their emotions and blame it on the Holy Spirit. That's a dangerous thing. I've seen people do some things totally not in the Bible and go, "The Holy Spirit's leading me to." Please be careful. Please be careful. Don't speak for the Holy Spirit if it's not the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, once again, today, we don't realize we hear from him because we keep leaning on our emotions or our intellect. And we're not sure at all, because we're not spiritual, because we're stiff-necked and we're with uncircumcised hearts. So we won't hear it. Very important. We have to be spiritual in order to receive that spiritual. That's why it says, you know, the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So if I'm thinking physically, if I'm thinking intellectually, I cannot understand what the Spirit is telling me. When I think spiritual, you understand that, okay? I'll understand spiritual. And that's very important. Now, seeing the difference between being stubborn and not. Romans 2, 6 through 8 gives a very clear picture for Christians to understand in case somebody tried to, you know, to water it down, make it seem like it's not what it is. He breaks it down in two frames. Romans 2, 6 through 8 says, God will give to each person according to what he has done. This is the New Testament showing this for Christians. Now watch this. To those who, by persistence in doing good. Stop there for a minute. So now, the job is, no matter what, I'm going to do what God says, because God is good. And why it says persistence, sometimes it's going to look like it's not going to work. Sometimes it looks like I get the wrong end of the stick. Sometimes it looks like others are doing better, but I keep doing it. Do you get this? See, I know some people are like, man, I did this all my life and I'm tired. That means, were you really doing it for God? A person doing it for God will say, I'm tired, but I'm not going to stop because it's what God told me to do. And they'll do it till the day they die. That's a person who is persistent in doing good. I'm doing good. Do you notice it's talking about the good that I'm doing, not the outcome that I'm looking for? Because what I'm seeking is not the outcome of it, but it says they seek glory, honor, and immortality. And each of those words are godly words that we only can receive from Christ. So we're receiving the glory of God. We're looking for his honor. Remember, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all that matters to a Christian, to a true Christian. I just truly want to hear him say, well done. And the way I know that is because I persistent in doing what he told me, period. And immortality, being with him forever. Not, I just want to live the final parts of my life here in comfort and whatever I want. So that's temporary. I'm looking for eternity. Okay. That's a person who's not stubborn, because you'll see them move wherever God moves them, change whatever God changes them, and doing exactly what God tells them, never changing from that. All right. And he says, for that person who's not stubborn, he will give eternal life. What he's saying is that's the characteristic of a saved person. If you're not that, you are not saved. You get this, okay? And then he goes and says, but for those who are self-seeking, that's the first one. And when we hear the word self-seeking, sometimes we add a little more to it to make it seem like, oh, that's not me. Self-seeking, yeah, I'm not selfish. That's not what he said. Self-seeking simply means I play a role in that. So a lot of us serve God and, remember I said, going back to that state of where God, I'll do what you tell me as long as I'm okay with it. That's self-seeking. Remember that verse says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's self-seeking. Now, I can play a part in it where it says, you know, consider others' interests and stuff like that. That part has to be in it. But it tells me I'm never to do anything based on me or based on how I see it, because that's self-seeking. Okay. So if I allow me to play a big part in that equation, that's one. Reject the truth. Plain and simple. First of all, I don't go into the word for my answers. And when I hear the answer, I don't do it anyway. That's rejecting the truth. Plain and simple. How many of you know the Bible says this and you go, I know, and you still don't do it. That's rejecting the truth. So you're self-seeking. You're rejecting the truth. And when you reject the truth, you follow evil. Because there's only two choices in this world. There's no middle one. You know, that when the Catholics created purgatory, because in a man's sight, they're like, there's these people that I think they mean well. No, he's saying you're either good or you're not. It's either or. So either you're following God, which is truth, or you're not. And that's following evil. And he makes clear there will be wrath and anger. So breaking those down, if you want to know if you're stubborn, these characteristics will follow it very clearly. You know what I mean? What things do you follow? What is your main pattern in life? You know, and God will allow those people, because there are some self-seeking people that in the beginning will look like they're doing good. Think about that. So I look like I'm doing good, and God knows my heart. This is where the God knows my heart part really comes into play. But in a matter of time, I'm done, because they were never seeking good. They were never seeking glory and honor from Christ and immortality. They were seeking self. I want for God to give me. So if I keep doing good, maybe he'll give me more money, give me more rest, give me more in the flesh. I want him to serve my flesh, and I want to go to heaven. Man, that would be great in all of us, not realizing they're going two opposite ways. Christian would recognize that. Know these, because you don't want to be on this end, and you want to make sure that you're following this one. Amen? So here's the remedy. So we're going to get a chance to understand how not to be stubborn. The remedy to stubbornness is reverence for God. I've been hinting towards that through this entire study, and is non-existent today. Non-existent today. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how sometimes when they go to church, they'll hear one or two things, then the other things will go elsewhere. I heard somebody else say, man, it's so much information, I can't take it all in. The problem is, when you look at other things in life, some of these same people been in school, and we retain every class. They have gone to jobs, and they'll retain that stuff. We'll remember stuff in TV shows. We remember songs. See, remember, when we're self-seeking, we gain stuff that we like easy. You know, we take in this stuff, man, and we're great with it. You know, we're fine with it, right? And all of it, we're not careful because we do it right in God's face because we don't revere him. Look what it says. Reverence must be the main characteristic of every Christian's life. That whole persistence in doing good is reverence. Because when I'm seeking just his answer, that's reverence. If everybody else is criticizing me and all I want to hear them say is well done, I'm going, got it. Y'all can call me every name you want. Well done. It says in 1 Peter 1, 17, it says, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, and this is us, once again, 1 Peter, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And that's why I wanted to be very careful, because as Sister Carolyn was asking about the time now is just the world. We got to be very careful that we are strangers. Now, I put that because what Satan tries to do is distract. If I get caught up in the world and no longer become a stranger, I actually become a citizen in the world, I'm leaving my true citizenship, which is in heaven. Y'all catch that? But in the world, only thing I focus on, don't care if you're Democrat, don't care if you're Republican, don't care if you're white, don't care if you're black, don't care if you're whatever, whatever. My goal is to save souls. I won't get caught up in it. I won't get lost in it. I won't be by, you know what I mean? All this other junk. I'm here to save souls in the Lord. Why? Because it comes back where I come from, which is heaven. And I do it in reverent fear. Reverent fear means I'm very careful how I do it. You get a lot of ministries sometimes that'll do things. And once again, they mean well, but did they check with God? Is that how you do it? Because in some cases, we actually are doing some damage in how we minister because we didn't check with God. We can be overbearing to some people. In some cases, we can become stumbling blocks because we don't check on people. Bible shows exactly how we're supposed to do things, and stuff we do is based on us without us checking with God because there's no reverence. Reverence is, okay, God, is this right? I want to make sure. So I'm in the Word to refine my life. Not just to be in the Word. He's not impressed with us studying. He's impressed with us studying to be persistent in doing good. Stubbornness can exist in the whole or portions of our lives if we're not careful. However, we must live our entire life based on God. The way to avoid it is everything I do, you be able to go, well, the Bible says. Like I said, when this whole pandemic started, the sermon we did was wisdom versus fear. Why? Because we are showing the Bible is full of cases where if you live in wisdom, you're living in God. Case closed, I thought. Unfortunately, you start hearing people's feelings come out of it. I'm tired of being in this, tired of wearing this, don't like this, this group against this, and whatever. And you're like, seriously? So then you ask the simple question. Okay, in your answer, give me the biblical, sound biblical answer to what your solution is in some of these things. And you can't do it. And that's the problem. But stubbornness is, but that's what I want, and I'm going to keep signing God's name off on it. See, the reverence we are to have for God must be all the time. Amen? I can't just be this godly person, but then on this other thing, what makes me comfortable, I'm going to ignore God. He says in Proverbs 28:14, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart. And did you notice how he says he who hardens his heart, which means it's my fault if my heart is hardened? You can't say I went through a rough life and my heart became hard. No, hardened heart is something you choose to do. It's part of being stubborn. It says, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. So are you fearing God or are you hardening your heart? You're stubborn, you're hardening your heart, and you're choosing to do that. And there is no feeling sorry and oh, they mean well. No. And this is where the fear part comes up. Oh, let me check. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. There are certain things that God won't answer to see if out of fear we'll go, you know what? I don't know, so I'm not doing it. I'm not. You understand that? Well, others will go, he didn't say no, right? And we do it because we lack that reverence. Learn from the reverence of Jesus. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Now think about that. He offered up prayers. That's him spending that time talking to the Father, petitioning. So he would have conversations with his Father, laying out and you know, I'm just pleading his case and putting everything out there with cry, with tears, and just really going to the only person that mattered, which is his Father. Okay. But look what it says. He was heard, watch this, because of his reverent submission. Now, let me stop there for a minute, because I just answered a lot of questions on some people going, how come I'm praying and it seems like God's not hearing me? Because there's no reverence. You go through the motion of prayer, but you don't revere God, and your prayer is going nowhere because you're not revering him. He was heard. It didn't say he was heard because he's Jesus. You understand? He didn't say he was heard because he had to come down here and take off all of his glory. No, he was heard because of his reverence. Remember our example. It says, although he was the son, that's not why he was heard, he learned obedience from what he suffered. If he was stiff-necked, he wouldn't have suffered. He would have gone, I'm Jesus. Why do I have to go through this? And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So he becomes that to us. But as an example, he's heard from his reverent submission. He presented stuff into God out of fear, and he did it in fear. That means every aspect of his life, you could check with him and ask him, and they could say, well, because the Bible says I do, because the Bible says I do. And it wouldn't be these wishy-washy answers we tend to give in life today. Now, stubbornness produces the following characteristics, which are opposite of reverent submission. First of all, worldly compassion. Just saying that, and we're seeing this more and more, things that we used to call sin years ago, we're kind of accepting now, you know, same-sex marriage. Like I said, people have sex like it's nothing. We don't think nothing of it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, you know, you have sex, married, whatever. We don't realize that's whatever. And the world does it. It's what we do. Our love of money. He tells us the danger of the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And man, we love money and we keep on loving money. We keep living for that love of money. You see emotional acceptance, which is a dangerous thing. What the difference between emotional acceptance is how I react to you is based on what God says. That's spiritual. When I respond to you based on how you feel and I feel, that's emotional. So there's sometimes I'm supposed to do something spiritual, but I react emotional. That's stubbornness instead of reverence. You're like, what did God say? Yeah, I know, but I didn't want him to get mad. Yeah, I know, but we were having such a good time. That's emotional acceptance. You see also a sense, it senses an intelligence over faith. That's the biggest one. Senses an intelligence over faith. I've seen it. I still hear Christians go, I did it and it worked. But what did God say? I know, but it worked. Did you hear what you're saying? So you're walking by what you've seen, not by what he says, even though he clearly says, walk by faith, not by sight. And today you still get Christians with those stories of, I did this and I seen this and it worked. That's what's dangerous. Senses over faith. And then last one is pride and human allegiances over God. We're becoming closer and closer to the world, and the church is blending with the world. And this is where politics can become a problem. This is where our pride groups can become a problem, where we live can become a problem. When our friendships play a part in our decision-making, sometimes it could trump God. And if you pay close attention, that's what we do. I see Christians hating people because of people. I see Christians loving people the wrong way because of people. Remember, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And you got organizations and groups teaching us to love the world, which he told us not to. And that's another reason why we're worthless in ministering to the world, because we're too busy loving the world. So we got to know what that means. So these things, when you look at these things, they're characteristics that are so common today, And they shouldn't be Christian. Should not be Christian. We need to go to God for all the answers and all the ways. Psalm 25, 4 through 5 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That's what we should be saying all the time. We should be saying that all the time. I think in women's group, a question came up on Proverbs 31. You know, is that real? You don't see that, you know, and I get it, because you see, and that's what I'm saying. So we read this right here, and some people go, well, how about pieces of this? Because you don't see that, and you're absolutely right. Where somebody is saying, God, I want to see 100% your ways. I want to walk 100% your path, and I want to only be in your truth. We may say this, but we don't do that. And then you got people that are saying, so this is unrealistic, not realizing, no, we're just very far gone. Because, yeah, we could be 100% this. Once again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to stop rebelling at God's commands and respect them. Proverbs 13:13 says, he who scorns instructions will pay for it. Now, think about this. When I say, I know the Bible says this, but, and I'm doing this other thing, I'm going to pay for it. What that means, it can come in many different forms. You just don't want to be on that form. So if you know that, stop it. Just do what he says. It says, but he who respects a command is rewarded. Y'all get this? Is rewarded. Now, Jesus gave the answer to resolve stubbornness. This is what we do to resolve. This is Matthew 16. 24 through 26 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. That's the first thing. Now, the denying of self, you have to do. I can't force you to do it. You got to choose to do it. That's why it's denying of self. And take up his cross and follow me. And he makes very clear why. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So if I'm living for Keith, once again, going back to that complacency, I'm doomed, even if it looked like it worked. And he explains that. He'll explain that in a little bit. It says, but whoever loses life for me, and that's important, not just loses life, because you got some people that just start living an I don't care life. That's just as bad as whoever wants to save his life. That's called a fool. But a person who loses life for me means I'm living for Christ. When I live for Christ, you'll see me missing out. You see me going against my feelings. You see me going against my desires. I'll love my neighbors, even though I may feel a frustration and anger towards them. I'll respond to them the way God says, despite how I really want to respond to them. Do you understand that? Okay? Because he asked a very good question. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? And that's what some people are doing and not realizing they're doing. And their blindness is not because they're, they were a little confused. No, due to their stubbornness. They don't realize in their stubbornness that they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, and you can't. You understand? Either you gain the whole world and enjoy temporary, or you gain eternity. He says, or what can a man exchange for his soul? I know it seems unfair. I know things seem unbalanced down here, but God knows what he's doing. We got to trust him. But I can't trust him while being stubborn. Though you may not see it now, fearing God produces the only good outcome. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says, although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, that's that sight. That's when that person comes and go, hey, I seen them do this and it worked. And that's what Christians are doing. Christians are going, I seen this person, he worked real hard. Now he has all this money, he's living life and he's comfortable and he goes to church. Okay. I'm not knocking riches. I'm saying, but when a person allows that to become the purpose or a purpose, he's letting you know, you see this. He says, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. That's one of those implied warnings. He was like, you may see something, but God is not coming to say, hey, how did it turn out for you? God's going to come and say, what did you do? Y'all get this? That's why I'm very adamant when somebody brings me some historical answers or some other things of what they did and it turned out well. I'm going, so where did the Bible say to do that? Well, you know, I did it and it worked out. No, no. Where in the Bible did it say to do that? Reverence is, you better, it got to be in line with God. Has to be. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14 says the conclusion when all has been heard. Remember, Ecclesiastes is a book of, it's a book that describes life. Remember those three, out of the three wisdom books, Psalms shows our man's relationship with God. Proverbs shows man's relationship with man. Ecclesiastes shows man's relationship with life. Okay, and how he wraps up Ecclesiastes in this, he says the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments. That's life. Fear God. Let me check with him, make sure it's out, not outside of him, and do what he said. Plain and simple. We brought in how I see it, what I'm missing out on, how come I can't have, what I feel, I'm working on it, all this other nonsense, instead of, did God tell you to do it? Yeah, then why aren't you doing it? Plain and simple. He says, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or bad, good or evil. And the key thing to this is he's stressing the fact that in him bringing these acts, you already have the answer if you're on the right end or if you're not. There's no confusion here. Simply put, you'll be able to sit down and go, the Bible says, so I'm doing this. The Bible says, and I'm doing this. As you grow, not being stiff-necked, that becomes more and more easy. If you're finding yourself, and that's hard to do, because you're stubborn. I can't make it any plainer. So let's learn from lessons of the past. Hebrews 4, 6 through 7. He says it still remains that some will enter that rest. We were just talking about that. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Once again, he kept explaining what they had to do. And then when they got there, he said, okay, now do it. And they were like, oh, no, we're scared. Seriously. He says, therefore, God again set a certain day. We just went over this, calling it today. So we're in that same opportunity. When a long time later, he spoke through David as was before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Stubbornness is so dangerous right now. And like I said, we take it so light and we give it so much weight and we allow it in so many cases as an excuse. And we don't realize how much danger is putting us in. I can't stress this enough. That if you find the stubbornness and the lacking of reverence, get rid of it now. Any questions? All right. Praise God. So we have no other questions. Thank you for this lesson. We'll see what we have next for next week. Just reminding everybody. We already did our Christmas sermon. It's up on the website if you want to see it and on. It should be on YouTube. I can check it again for that. So this weekend, we will have an Order My Steps and the sermon on Sunday, as we usually do. Then next Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So we still will have Bible study on Wednesday. And then Thursday night, we will have the virtual sermon of the new year. That's going to be Thursday night at 7. And then the weekend on Sunday, it'll be back to Order My Steps and the sermon. So I hope to have all of you there to be blessed by the messages that are be giving, that God willing will be given in all those times. Any questions? All right. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank you once again, dear God. And thank you for revealing the things we need to get rid of, as well as the things that we need to have in our lives, dear Lord. Please forgive us for allowing ourselves. And we know it's us, because your word shows us in many cases, we're the ones hardening our hearts. And we're the ones becoming stiff-necked. Help us, dear God, to make sure we recognize that in ourselves and to become flexible to be used by you, dear Lord, and only by you. Help us to live in a reverence, dear Lord, that we're checking every step that we make, that we can make sure that we can take that back and recognize that we're doing it based on you and only you. We ask for blessings on those who are struggling out there, those who are sick, dear God. We ask you to open up what we need to do in order to minister with our lives. Help us say the right things at the right times, do the right things at the right times, not to become complacent, but to stay continually focused on you. Bless those who are struggling with depression, We were struggling with other ailments and things of that sort. But help us not to cater to it in a worldly way, dear Lord, but to deal with it spiritually. Can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for all the love you continue to give us and all the things you continue to do for us and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.